Thanks for staying tuned. Thanks for still being there with us. And if you're just joining us, the program is Women Affairs on your All News, All Talk and All Sports Station.
Of course, Radio 1103.5 FM, Lagos, that's where we are. Remember that you can, we're streaming online, so you can listen to us anywhere you are in the world. Or if you have someone that you desire to be a part of this program, please tell the person to tune in right now. Probably log in to www.radio1035.fm. That is www.radio1035.fm. 2017 is the second year of a two-year Unite to End YB. No, TB. That's what it is. Okay, now, Campaign for World TB Day. Now, this year, WHO places a special focus on uniting efforts to leave no one behind, including actions to address stigma, discrimination, marginalization, and overcome barriers to access care.
And we have two lovely guests in the studio today to talk on World Tuberculosis Day, which is tomorrow. First is Dr. Emina Alero-Veli. She's the Senior Registrar, Department of Community Health, Lagos University Teaching Hospital. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm glad to be here.
I also have Dr. Ama Onyerima, founder of Live Abundantly Empowerment Initiative. Thanks for honoring us with your presence.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Did I see, I like the twinkle in your eyes and the smile on your lips. Okay, you're welcome to Radio 1. Now, we'll have to go straight ahead to the questions. We may have to ask straight ahead. Research has it that more women are at risk for stroke than men. Now, can we say that that's the same situation with tuberculosis?
For tuberculosis, it's not the same. The males are more at risk of developing tuberculosis than the females.
Why is it so?
Well, because one, the males, they abuse drug more.
Oh.
And tuberculosis at least is commoner with people that abuse drugs. Then, apart from that, males tend to accommodate each other more. So you can find 5-6 males together living in a particular room and dwelling peacefully together. But women, you know our nature, we can hardly tolerate each other. You can't see a lot of women together. So because of that, they at least because of the overcrowding, they have more tendency to be in a place where they have more overcrowding.
So you're saying that cohabiting is one of the risk factors of tuberculosis?
Yes, overcrowding. Yes.
Okay.
All right, so how can imagine a family woman, you know, who is up and doing and has tuberculosis, and she's been treated, and you know, she's caring for her family and all that. Now, a person like that, can the person, you know, be secluded, or can the person still be receiving treatment and be with her family? You know, there's this risk of, you know, infection.
Yes.
So what can you do with such a person?
Yes. Any woman or anybody that comes down with tuberculosis, the first thing is you want to at least treat yourself, at the same time protect your family members, because you don't want to keep this, come down with tuberculosis and other people also come down with tuberculosis, because you've got to take the body to take care of them too. So the first thing is, if you are coughing, at least cough greater than 2 weeks and you've been diagnosed with tuberculosis, one, go to the clinic, get tested, start the medication, and you continue. Then you try to protect others. And we tell them to, not as if you totally exclude yourself.
Okay.
But you put some measures in place. For example, you can get a clean hanky to cover your mouth, your nose, when you're coughing or when you're sneezing.
So it's airborne?
Yes, it's air droplets. That's it.
Okay, so then what can we say is a root cause of this ailment?
Well, tuberculosis is caused by a bacterium. And one of the things that we should make people aware of is that tuberculosis has been around for centuries, but the cure and the prevention of tuberculosis has been known since the 1940s. So the fact that it still remains an issue and an epidemic truly needs to be addressed, and is one of the things that organizations such as ours are interested in. It is true that men tend to be the carriers of tuberculosis, but in reality, when the women get infected and the the age range where it can be very troubling is between 15 and 59, and then of course with young children who are under 5, because children under 5 do not have that immunity. It's still very delicate for those children. It is very important that the women understand that their service is available. You know, there are centers they can go to for screening, but also that drugs are available.
Really, are they for free? They are free.
The drugs are
free. Are you serious?
Yes, the drugs are free.
There's a German hospital somewhere. It used to be in Bielsa where you could have free German something hospital.
I'll get to that, yes.
I'm pretty certain that the drugs are free also in Lagos, so the drugs are free. The issue with women is awareness. We need to educate the women, let them know that testing is available, it's free. Drugs are available, it is free. And that preventive measures can be taken in their homes, from having proper ventilation to not being around crowds. You can still take care of your family and you don't have to be stigmatized because you have tuberculosis.
Okay, so as an educationist, how would you say, what are the different measures that you've put in place to properly educate women or create awareness on, you know, tuberculosis?
It starts with health education. I truly believe that health education should begin in schools. Health education should be available in universities because, again, you're in hostels where you're living and breathing. It is airborne bacterium. So that is also important. And then we should take advantage of hospitals, clinics, where women are going for prenatal care or, you know, pregnancy treatment. Those kinds of things are avenues where we should advertise what is available for tuberculosis. But I also think that working in association with the government or what would you call them, associations, medical public health associations, makes a difference. It's about giving information. If you disseminate information in multiple languages, if you have public broadcast, then you can help with this issue. But, you know, having a tuberculosis day is fantastic, but we need to go beyond that. It needs to be information that's available continuously, not just on a specific
day. Now, in the process of creating awareness, most times, my worry oftentimes, I would say, is actually the rural environment. I mean, not the urban areas. Mm-hmm. How do we drive this sensitization home to them? Because oftentimes, they are the ones that are a bit ignorant of, you know, this.
Again, it goes back to awareness, education, and information, and having it available in multiple languages. So if you're dealing with a Yoruba rural community, you want to have that information there in that language. It's about going to the churches. You have to take advantage of the community. Share the information within the community. That's how you empower women.
Okay. Right. Like when you say churches, like all those
churches, mosques, community centers, right. Prenatal centers, take advantage of that to advertise that it is available. It's curable. It is a curable disease.
Dr. Larry, you wanted to say something?
We need to do a lot of community mobilization. Because just don't go to a community. If you don't enter the community correctly, you might not really achieve your aim. So if you want to go to a community, you want to mobilize, you want to help educate the women there, you must, first of all, at least get some approval from the head of the community. If it's a bale, if it's a general ruler, you get your support.
Or even the women.
Or the women leaders, yes. The market women, the women leaders, the churches, the clerics, the pastors, the affairs, all those major stakeholders in the community. First of all, you go in there, you explain what you want to do, like advocacy. You tell them this is what we want to do, and you get your approval. From there, once you're able to win the leaders of the community to your side, they have a way to ensure that every woman in that community or everybody in that community gets the information across. But in every community, we have the rumor mongers, we have people, we have the movers and shakers of the community. You need to get all of them to be on deck. And like you said, health education. Because if you health educate one woman, at least she will educate like 4 or more people. Her husband is there. Our children is there, our friends, our relatives.
The gossip processes could take over.
Because women, we have a way of getting information to people.
I was about to add social clubs when Dr. Amma was talking about the different places that we could, you know, use as, you know, avenues for sensitizing such women. So the social clubs are also there.
Indeed.
Okay, so Dr. Amma, I would ask, is there a particular lifestyle one needs to maintain to avoid this? to avoid contracting tuberculosis?
That's a very interesting question, because lifestyle, I mean, everybody's lifestyle is somewhat different, but again, it's about care for yourself. You have to care for yourself. You have to know that when you're unwell, you seek medical care. Right? Very often, as mothers and women, we tend to be the last ones to look for that care. We're busy taking care of the family, but not really giving time to ourselves. So it is important for women.
If we don't take care of them, who will?
Okay. You have to take care of yourself before you can take care of them. If you're on a plane, they tell you put your oxygen mask first before you put it on your child. Same thing applies here. Take care of yourself so you don't spread it to your family.
All right. Okay.
I would like to add something on a lifestyle, because nutrition. I realized that tuberculosis is common among people that have some form of immunosuppression, because you could have the infection and you don't have any pathology, you don't have the disease. The agent is just there as a latent plate. And when that person is immunosuppressed, there's reactivation of that infection and it comes up. So, as part of the lifestyle, because you must have to eat right. You eat well. You ensure.
So by eating right, you mean eating what kind of foods?
No, taking balanced diet.
Okay.
Taking foods that will nourish your body, that will boost your immunity. Fruits, vegetable, balanced diet.
One second. I usually or oftentimes have issues with eating right in this part of the world, especially considering the constitution of most of our staple food here. I mean, it's a bit challenging for an average Nigerian, if I would say an average Nigerian, to meet up to the target of eating right in every sense of that word that he just said. I mean, in terms of meeting up with the price of vegetables and fruits and then balancing it with the right protein and all of that. Is there a way we can, re-strategize to make sure that we make up for, nutrients that we may be lacking, that we may not be able to get, on the regular?
I actually have to say that the quality of food in Nigeria is better than most places. We've begun to adopt a more westernized palate.
Okay.
But the reality is we have proteins, we have fruits, we have vegetables. Your regular okra soup and wedu and all of those are vegetables.
Yeah, I remember when somebody had an issue about vegetables being expensive. Someone said, why don't you grow them
in your garden?
Michelle Obama was known to have grown vegetables in her garden, and they said something about Trump's wife thinking about or putting it or not. But then, well,
it is what it is.
I don't think it's expensive to eat right.
No, it isn't.
It's not expensive. You don't have to go for the expensive fruits or the festive vegetable. You can start from simple things. There's some food that comes in season. Like now, there this thing that is on now. That's the fruit.
So that's also nutritious. Some of them, you look at them and you think that they don't have nutritional value.
It's one of the best because it's high in fiber.
Are you serious? Like, I'll go for it every day now. Okay, thank you so much. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Women Affairs, reaching you from Radio 1 103.5 FM Lagos. And of course, in the studio this afternoon, we have two delectable ladies in the house, one dark and lovely and one light and beautiful. Okay, Dr. Emina Alera, a Valley Senior Registrar, Department of Community Health, Lagos University Teaching Hospital. And I also have Dr. Ama Onyerima. Founder of Live Abundantly Empowerment Initiative. I wish you know the meaning of that name, but you know why I like it. And of course, we've been speaking with them. They've been throwing lights on, tuberculosis based on the celebration of what tuberculosis day, and then what people need to know and how do we create awareness on tuberculosis. I know that lots of people have questions to ask and they can't wait to throw some questions at you. It doesn't have to be just Loretta and I's business.
While we're waiting for them, mm-hmm. Precious, could you give out the numbers again?
Exactly.
I launch my question.
Your question. All right, the numbers to reach us with this afternoon if you have questions for the doctors as regards tuberculosis is 0813-3313-3172. That is 0813-331-3172. You can also reach us on 0818-706-9979. 0818-706-9979. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Good
glad to still have you with us, and you're still on to Radio 1, 103.5 FM in commemoration of World Tuberculosis Day. Coming up tomorrow, this program is coming your way, and we still have Dr. Emina Alero-Veli and Dr. Ama Unyerima. You can call in with your questions. Precious has given out the number 0813-331-3172, and we have a call now.
Okay, let's see if we can answer that very quickly. Hello. Oh dear, we lost it. You can also reach us on 0818-706-9979, 0813-331-3172, and 0818-706-9979. You have to shoot that question.
Okay, Dr. Alero. Now, I know we don't really have a very good database in Nigeria. That has been one of our challenges. But can you, do you have an estimate of people cured of TB or still living with TB between last year and now? Or can you, you know, say if there's an improvement?
Give us an instance. People,
I know we've been having problem. In Nigeria, we have a problem with database. But then...
Can we really say that we have people who truly are living with this, you know, infection, as it were, if there's an infection, and are doing very well?
Yes.
Okay.
They are doing very well.
Okay. Do you have statistics in mind?
No. All right.
Okay. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes. Good afternoon to you.
Hello.
You're on to Radio 1. What's your name, please?
Yeah, my name is Akigbe.
Akigbe. Oh dear, what's happening? I think it's a network issue. Hello. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to you. Your name and where you're calling from, please. Your name is?
Cosmos. From
Ekpe. Cosmos from Ekpe. Go ahead with your question.
I want to ask Arnold. Why is this patient going to receive this
do we have a case like that? A case where someone is left to be taking treatment even though it may be clear that the person is not likely to make it, and then the person is suffering probably from TB, and then the person is left to just be taking treatment and gulping, you know, funds from the family.
Dies.
And then if a person finally dies. Is there a situation like that? I think that's the point he's trying to make.
I don't think so. I thought he was asking about people continuously taking treatment. I mean, the reality is there's usually a course of treatment that is prescribed when you have TB, and it's important for you to complete that regimen, because if you don't, then you could have a resurgence of it.
So that means it's totally curable.
Yeah, it's totally curable.
Is curable.
Let's take a breather and take this call. Hello? Hello? Good afternoon. Yes, please. Your name and where you are calling from?
I want to find out if necrosis is for poverty or.
I couldn't even get that.
Okay, while we're waiting for. While we're waiting for more calls, Dr. Alero, what exactly is the government's effort? How do you rate government's efforts in eradicating TB?
Well, I think our government, we are trying, because we're able to imbibe different strategies. In 1991, developed this National Tuberculosis and Leprosy Control Program, which was initiated and was in full force. Then in 1993, the directly observed treatments was also adopted, in which anybody that has tuberculosis had to go to the health center and take the drug, and the healthcare worker to ensure that that patient takes the drug on a daily basis because of the issue of multi-drug and resistance. And that one came into place in 1993. Then the stop tuberculosis strategy was adopted in 2006. With the aim to control tuberculosis. And right now, we're talking about the end tuberculosis strategy that was adopted in 2016, where we have various target indicators to ensure that mortality due to tuberculosis is reduced. The incidence, new cases of tuberculosis, it's also reduced. And the catastrophic spending or suffering associated with tuberculosis is also reduced. And so the government is doing so better things to ensure that all the strategies are put in place and will work effectively here in Nigeria.
Okay, Dr. Yerima, I would like to know, first of all, the question that the former caller asked was if tuberculosis is something that is peculiar to poor people alone. Not I think that's the question he was trying to ask.
Not at all. Tuberculosis can affect me. Anybody can get tuberculosis. It's not restricted to the poor.
Okay.
It's more, but it's
okay. The high risk people are.
Yes. Those that are poor are. They have more tendency.
Why?
Yes,
is
because
that?
I'm poor. I don't have money. So maybe I just can afford a one room apartment in the slum where we are like 10 or 7 people in the room. So overcrowding. Wow. Yes, because I don't have money to rent a duplex or a 4-bedroom apartment in Lekki or VGC. So I said stay there. So run of overcrowding. So if somebody is coughing, the disease can easily go around.
Taking in each other's breath.
Yes, because of overcrowding.
Okay, Dr. Yerima.
And nutrition. You don't eat well because you don't have money to get
the right kind of food.
Okay. So you are malnourished and you can come down.
It's also important along the same line to remember that economically, when you don't have the resources, you're less likely to go to a hospital when you're not feeling well, not knowing the information, which is why we advocate for education. If I can educate you on what is available and how to take care of yourself, you're more likely to provide the care, the necessary care, and access the necessary care to improve your health.
Okay, before we move to other questions, over the years I've been hearing about this relationship between tuberculosis and HIV. I don't know if there's a relationship. I would like you to throw a bit more light on that. Is there a relationship between the two of them? So I would like to know.
She did allude to it because, again, when you have HIV and you have TB, your immune system is suppressed. Compromise is the actual word I should use when you have HIV, which means that tuberculosis sort of becomes more heightened.
An opportunistic infection.
Yeah.
Well, the people that have HIV, the HIV virus, the type 1 and the type 2, affects the immune system. Okay. So the immune system, there's immunosuppression, and so the tuberculosis or the agents can become blown out. Okay. And that infection, sometimes some people have infection and they don't have the disease. It's just the latent phase. And once you have some form of immunosuppression, the disease gets reactivated and come up. So tuberculosis is an opportunistic infection and is very common among people living with HIV/AIDS.
Okay, in just a minute, I think the calls are not yet coming. Dr. Ama, you did mention something about educating the women, and I understand that your Live Abundantly Empowerment Initiative focuses on women and children.
Yes, it does.
So why that? Where did you get that passion from?
It comes from understanding that women are marginalized in this society. There's an inequitable distribution of wealth and education within Nigeria. So being able to provide a platform where information, awareness, and understanding can be disseminated is important to us as an organization. So health, wealth, is important to us in the long run.
So have you noticed a significant improvement on educating women and sensitization? Are people more aware? Are women more aware now? I mean, since the inception of your initiative?
Well, women are more aware of what is available to them, but it takes time and it has to be continuous. It can't be a one-time deal. You have to continuously work with the community, work with the schools, work with organizations and associations to partner and share that information. Awareness is key, but education is also very important. And we talked earlier about health education. Health education is not occurring at the level that it should be available, particularly for young girls. You know, between the ages of 15 and 59, those are the most productive years, reproductive years as well as productive years economically for women. So it's key.
Okay, now considering the topography of Nigeria as it were generally, how difficult or what are the challenges that you've had so far, in the course of pushing this course?
It started and it will continue. But as the good doctor here mentioned, you always have to get in touch and make sure that you get the consent and consensus of any community that you go into when you're trying to disseminate information.
Do some of them repel you, or they're all very,
people are open to information and to learning.
especially if they know it will improve
the quality,
of their lives.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. We women love that.
Yes, we do.
You can't say this again.
Information is power. The more information you have, the more likely you are to do the right thing for yourself and for your family. Women want better lives for themselves, for their children, and ultimately for their community.
Okay, let's just see if we can take this call one last call before we rush us. Hello, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Yes, please. Yes, please. We can hear you. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Go ahead. You just have 30 seconds. Okay.
Okay, I'm listening to the program and I want to give a little thought for kind of the TV. I'm talking about awareness, bring about. If the digital education comes about with awareness, there's no way they can be communicating information to this without going to community in order. So there's a lot of people that are be having no big people to be at home. Investing people is one more company. I think there should be more smoking than just marketing. You do everything to this world to keep the market and community.
She's saying there's any other way to disseminate this information outside, going to the communities. Or one way is, she said, especially if you're staying at home, but one way is this, what we're doing now.
It's on radio. we even forgot to ask if there are peculiar symptoms one can look out for, you know, that is different from any other normal form of cough.
Yes.
You did mention doctor. It a lot. In
yes, I said when you're coughing for more than 2 weeks, you should be tested.
Okay. Ooh, more than two weeks.
If you have those cough more than 2 weeks, you should be tested. That's the standard. Then apart from the cough, the cough is really productive or sputum. And sometimes you go have blood in the sputum, what we call hemoptysis. Then apart from that, you can also have fever, weight loss, night sweats, anorexia, you don't have the feeling to eat, just chest pain. These are some of the symptoms of
All right, thank you so much. We do not have time anymore. It's time for us to run out of the studio, and this is all maybe join the curtain today on the today's edition of the program Women Affairs. You know, we constantly keep you informed on issues concerning you and your lifestyle and your health, of course. Today we've had Dr. Emina Alero Valley. Okay, thank you. I like your name. Can you borrow me your last name? She's a senior registrar, Department of Community Health, Lagos University Teaching Hospital.
And we also have Dr. Ama Onyerima, founder of Live Abundantly Empowerment Initiative. We really do look forward to having you again to talk more about this initiative. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for also, for those who called, who tried to reach us. We do appreciate your calls. For those who tried to call but couldn't get through to us, we do apologize. Obviously, the base due to circumstances beyond our control. Today's edition of the program has been produced by Olayinka Mayaki. Thank you once again for staying with us. Executive producer, Ice Cream Care Treasure Jurodola. My name is Precious Inye.
And I am Loretta Konuga, leaving you with this quote by Malala Yousafzai. When the whole world is silent, even one voice becomes powerful. Be that voice and let it be heard. Have a wonderful afternoon ahead.